Hey everybody, this is Mark, and this is another commentary and analysis, this time over how you judge others is how we judge ourselves, or how we judge others is how we judge ourselves, or something like that. These commentaries are all about the inspiration, ideas, and research that goes into these articles, and so if you enjoy the articles and you want to learn more, then you should be listening to this commentary, which you are right now. Because you judge this commentary to be awesome, so you judge yourself to be awesome, or something like that. Anyway, this article has pretty deep roots intellectually in terms of, you know, where it came from. I'm not sure exactly what triggered me to write it. I'm recording this about 2.5 years later, so I don't recall specifically what the inspiration was, but I remember writing it very quickly, and this is an idea that has stuck with me for probably 10 plus years now. But as I recall, the reason I decided to write it, this opening vignette about somebody I know who is, you know, he's one of those people who's like, just wants to make as much money as possible. And, I remember noticing that he seemed to see things like when you hung out with him, it got kind of annoying because he would interpret everything else happening in the world to be about other people's desire for money. It was like his overarching desire for everything was money. And so, his automatic assumption was that everybody else shared that desire. And so they were only motivated by that, even if they seemed to be motivated by something else like charity or whatever. And I remember that kind of stuck with me. This is a long time ago, by the way. And this idea in my mind started to develop a little bit when I started my business with dating advice, because what I started to notice when I worked with clients was people are generally attracted to things, values in a partner that they hold valuable themselves. So it's like, if I'm, you know, a fitness fanatic and I spend 2 hours every single day in the gym, then I'm going to highly value fitness in a partner. It's not just about like looking good. It's like, I want to date somebody who shares a similar value as me. They care about their health. They care about their body. They care about pushing themselves. And it's the same with everything that way. And this used to come up over and over again, in my dating advice writing. And it actually, I talked about it in my book, Models Attract Women Through Honesty, that there's a whole chapter in that book called Demographics, which basically talks about this idea of like, we value in others what we value in ourselves. This idea kind of further developed with an article I wrote in 2013 called How Will You Measure Your Life? This idea that we all have our own internal yardstick. And this in a way is almost like a sequel to that article. So if you haven't read it, you know, maybe go check it out. It's called How Do You Measure Your Life? I have a story in it about a guitarist and the guitarist of Megadeth and how he would measure himself compared to Metallica, and that because his measurement was Metallica's success, he always felt kind of miserable, even though he was very successful himself by other people's measurements. It focuses on this idea that like our perception of our own success is relative. It's subjective. It's something that we get to decide even if we don't realize it. And then this article is very much just an extension of that idea, saying that measurement of what makes us successful is also the measurement that we tend to use on other people. In terms of the article itself, it's not my favorite in my opinion, it's not the best written article I've ever done. It's funny, actually. There's this whole series of articles around this period, basically like the winter of 2013, 2014, I feel like I was working below my own capacity, that a lot of my work here was underachieving, I guess you would say. This is another article that I love the idea and concept, behind it, but I don't, I probably wouldn't write it the same way today. I think I would write it much better today. I think it just comes off a little bit cheesy and stereotyping at times. As for any sort of like kind of research or psychological research behind these ideas, I haven't actually found anything that specifically, researches this in the way that I explain it. There is some research out there on values, most notably by, a man named Barry Schwartz. But I don't think anybody, at least I haven't come across any research that looks at like kind of cognitive biases in this specific way or describes them in this specific way. There is a lot of research that supports the idea that we tend to, over evaluate how important or useful our own skills or abilities are, and we tend to under-evaluate, you know, the skills and abilities of other people. We also tend to overestimate, I guess, is over-evaluate even a word? I just thought of that. Anyway, you get what I mean. But we also tend to overestimate our own intentions and our own ideas, and then we tend to underestimate other people's intentions and ideas. So you know, it's like if I, you know, if you want to make a ton of money and I want to like give all my money to charity, I will look at your motivations and I will kind of assume the worst because they're different from mine. I'll be like, oh, you're just selfish and greedy and you don't really care about people and blah, blah, blah. And you'll look at my intentions and you'll underestimate them. You'll say, oh, well, he just wants attention and affection and he wants to be popular with everybody. That's why he gives all of his money away. Whereas the truth is that, you know, a person who gives their money to charity is probably motivated from, you know, a deeper good. And the person who is striving to make a lot of money is also concerned about generating a greater good to generate more benefits for their customers or clients so that they can grow their business further. So it's one of those situations where we are instinctively biased pro ourselves and against other people who are different than us, whereas like the reality lies somewhere in the middle. And I honestly think, and this has been a subject in my writing more lately at the time I record this, 2016, I think that I can't help but wonder that these biases are enabled by a lot of the modern technology. Like, it's easier to judge others when you're just kind of seeing caricatures of them on the internet or on Facebook or like 10-second video clips that make somebody look awful. It's much easier to fall into these biases than it would be otherwise. And I think, you know, the central message of this article is more important than ever, is to understand, like, the yardstick by which I measure myself is not absolute. It's not infallible. And by the way, I'm biased towards it when I evaluate others, and that is maybe not necessarily fair to them. So, yeah, important idea. This article, it wasn't hugely popular when it came out. And this one, I feel like it's aged well. Like, people didn't really love it when it came out, but the more time goes on, the more I find people like referencing it or thanking me for it or posting it on Facebook or whatever. So it's kind of a funny one in that way. I think it was underappreciated when it came out, and I think as time has gone on, more and more readers have kind of come around and appreciated it. Or maybe it's just the readership has changed. Maybe my readership, you know, at the end of 2013, it didn't really resonate with them. Whereas my readership now, it clicks with them. So who knows?